Do our little, let's see if we can remember what the, so far we've done five messages, and this will be the last one in this, I guess if you want to call that series of what we want our church to be known for when people mention our church. What is it that people think? And so the first one, okay, what was the first one that we want to be known as very what? Friendly, okay? And you're all doing a great job, okay? Watch you all fellowshipping one another, talking to each other, and that's the way that we want it to be, that people feel like they're welcomed here. And then the next one that we talked about is that on a regular basis, we want to see the power of what? His resurrection, okay? And that is the power of his resurrection, seeing people get saved. I'm excited about next week. I believe we'll have a bunch of folks here that'll probably be here in the plan of salvation in the throughout the course of the message for the first time. I'm going to give an invitation. I'd love to see somebody on the first weekend that we're over there walking aisle and get saved. Wouldn't that be exciting to see, okay? And so the power of his resurrection. And then the next one was we talked about holy, but not what? Okay, Trisha got it. Holy, but not holier than thou. Okay, yes, we're holy, and you just go stay in the parking lot. Okay, we don't want our attitude to be that. Okay, and then the next one was we want to have what in God to believe miracles. Okay. Faith, there we go, okay, faith in God, believing for miracles, okay, and miracle number one we have to believe him for is that we can get insurance on this property so we can meet next week, right, yeah, amen, right. Okay, and then last week, okay, we talked about understanding something so that we can have the peace of God, understanding what? The grace of God, allowing us to have the peace of God. And I told Caleb, we labeled it not good enough. You don't want to find yourself in a place thinking, oh, I'm not good enough. I didn't do enough. I should have done more. And you lay in bed at night with no peace, can't go to sleep because you got the wrong thinking running around your head about how it is you were supposed to have done more that day and earned favor with God. Okay? And so now today, we're going to start out in Revelation chapter number 4. And I'm going to take a message that I've preached several times through my time of preaching, but it's just one that it's such a part of me that I want it to be a part of us. And so Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Okay, and so let's look at that verse together. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We're going to start there, and I'm going to talk to you about the importance of relationships today, and you'll see how I'll weave that into what we want our church to be, something that's known for. Okay, so let's pray together, ask the Lord to bless and speak to each of us individually. Father, we and just come to you, Lord, and I pray that you'd help me now as I preach your word. Lord, help me to preach it correctly. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to have an open, receptive heart to what you'd have to say to us today. And Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to, Lord, draw us together as a church as we get ready to really move to the next phase of going into that auditorium across the way. And Lord, we're just looking forward to you doing great and mighty things. And so we pray now that you bless the preaching of your word today, minister to our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We understand this, that we were created to have a relationship with God and bring him pleasure. Now, if you were to go to my office and you walk into my office, Chris won't walk into my office because I have dead animals in my office, but if you were to walk into my office, you see I have a couple deer mounts that I'm going to put up in my office. And here's the thing. One of the reasons that what that is signifies with me is one of the things that I like to do is I love going outdoors. I mean, not just outdoors, like go sit out on the sidewalk, but I love going out into the woods. I love going fishing. I love going hunting. My dad kind of raised me that way. It was, I joke with people that my dad was the type of guy that if you gave him a knife, dropped him off in the middle of nowhere and picked him up 3 weeks later, he would have gained weight. You know what I mean? He just knew how to live off the land, and he taught us all that. And I learned to love the outdoors. And one of the things I love about deer hunting is you go in deer hunt, you put on your camera camouflage and you get in the woods and you kind of hide yourself and you get to see everything in its natural habitat, if you would. Okay, you get to see the sun comes up and what happens? Here comes the little raccoons. They come climbing down and they're walking along. And I've had foxes walk right underneath me. When I was in Fort Dodge, there's a river right next to where I would deer hunt. And you would see a bald eagle one time come swoop down and actually catch a fish right out of the river. And you think it's just neat to see all of the things that God created. I get great pleasure out of going out and being part of that. And now here's the thing. God created that. I enjoy it and I get pleasure from it. But just as much as God created it and I get pleasure out of it, do y'all understand another thing? That is, God created it and he also gets pleasure out of it. Right? I mean, you know, we would go out to Utah, and you go to Utah, the Salt Lake Valley there. And you go there in the middle of June and you look up on the mountains on either side and they're covered in snow in the middle of June. And it's amazing. You look up, it's like 97 degrees down here and there's snow up there. And we would all take pictures. Why? Because it's so pretty. Okay, well, here's the thing. God looks down from heaven and guess what he says about that? He goes, I created that and that is so pretty. God created it and he goes, I get pleasure out of looking at what I created. But here's the other thing you have to think about. And that is, just as much as a God gets pleasure out of nature that he created, guess why I was created? Okay, what does he say? For all things were created, what? For all things were created by him, and what? For thy pleasure they are and were created. So here's the thing. I was created to bring pleasure to God. Y'all understand that? But we also know this, that sin entered in and it severed that relationship, right? Sin comes in and then what? Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. And that is what? The sin comes in and it divides that relationship. Now, is God satisfied with the relationship divided between him, us and him? No. Okay? So what do we know? God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Why did he do that? Because he said, I created them to have a relationship with me so that they could bring me pleasure enough to the point that I'll send my son to die to reestablish that relationship. And so what you understand out of that is this. You understand that the plan of salvation was to reconcile and restore that relationship because God getting pleasure from us was part of that original plan. Okay? Now, the Bible. Think about this. The Bible is, from cover to cover, a book about God's relationship with us. Okay? And just as much as the Bible is a book about God's relationship with us, the Bible is also a compilation of every relationship known to man. Now, let's just think about it. I'm going to give you all a quiz, okay? Ready? You got to go to school for a minute with me, okay? So what relationship is represented by of Adam and Eve? The relationship of? Okay, what you got, Clark? Husband and wife, Adam and Eve. There's a relationship of husband and wife, okay? So ready? You've got Cain and Abel. What's the relationship that's represented there? Okay, siblings, or somebody would be specifically inside that what? Brothers, right? Okay, so then let's move a little bit forward. Abraham and Isaac. The father and what? Son, okay? So then we can go a little bit, go to another one. Noah, his wife and his children. What relationship is there? The relationship of family, okay? So then, ready? Think about this one. Jonathan and David. What is Jonathan and David?
Friends.
Friends, okay? And then we could go on to this one. Paul and Silas. What'd you say, Tricia? Co-workers, right? There were two people who worked together in doing the work of the Lord, but they were co-workers, okay? All right, so then, ready? Here's another one for you. This one, sometimes people go, Paul and Timothy. Okay? There we go. That's what I've got written down. You were close. Okay, I'll give you half credit, okay? That was what? They had word mentor, right? Paul mentoring Timothy. Now, I mean, could I keep going on and we won't go to all these, but just think about this. You have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the siblings. You have Moses and Aaron. You have, now, do you have, what, David and Bathsheba? You say, oh, that's a bad relationship, but is it not a picture of a relationship, right? Ahab and Jezebel, Mary and Joseph, Samson and his parents, Joseph and his brothers, Jesus and his disciples, Job and his wife. And guess what I could do? I could go on and on and on of all the different relationships that God covers all throughout the Bible. And the reason is this, okay? God understands that each of us live a life that is nothing more than a series of relationships. Think about it. Ready? A man gets up in the morning, his alarm goes off to head to work. And he reaches over, he pats his wife and says, "I'm off to work, honey," and he gives her a kiss. Immediately, what do you have there? The husband-wife relationship. Right? He comes downstairs and there's his son who's getting ready for school. What is that? The father-son relationship. He walks out of his house, and as he walks out of his house, he walks past his neighbor. And he waves to him, "Morning, Bob." Right? What do you have there? Relationship of neighbor. Pulls up at work. And what does he do? As he's walking to the car, here's another guy who pulls up at work. And he walks in with next to Jeff. And there it is. What? The coworker. And then he gets the boss standing at the time clock. "I need to see you in my office." You're like, "Oh, right. Okay." But honestly, what is your life? Your life is nothing more than a series of relationships. Y'all understand that? Just over and over and over again. Now, the nice thing is this. God did not just leave us here on this earth and say, "You figure out relationships by yourself." Because guess what we would do to those relationships? We would do what to them? We'd mess them all up. So God hands us a handbook. He hands us the Bible. And he says, "Here is a book that I gave you that will help you teach you how to build and maintain strong relationships." Now, I want to give you three things, and I'll take just a couple minutes on each of them. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 26. Okay? Matthew chapter number 26. We're going to just cover three things of what ways to prioritize in my life about the importance of relationships for all of us to do. And so go to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26, and look with me in verse number 7, okay? Matthew 26 and verse number 7. All right, y'all there. It says this. It says, "There came unto him a woman," came unto Jesus, "a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'What purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' Now, when Jesus understood it," that was what they're upset about, "he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial unto her." Now, listen to the statement here, okay? Relationships are more important than things. I want everybody to say that with me, okay? What? Relationships are more important than things. Everybody ready? Relationships are more important than things, okay? So what do you have here? Think about this. You have this lady that brings this alabaster box, and the Bible says it's very precious, very expensive. And she comes in, and she breaks it, and she pours it on Jesus. And the disciples get all upset. The Bible says indignation. They get mad because she wasted this thing. And Jesus, what does he immediately do? As soon as he notices that they're all upset over this thing, this ointment, this little box, he stops and he says what? He says, "Let's get the focus off of the box and put the focus on her." You with me? He said, "You're all upset because she broke a little box. I want you to stop and recognize that this lady," and he turned from the thing to the person. And he was trying to get them to understand, look, don't get wrapped up in things, because here's the thing. We understand this. The Bible says that things are temporal. Do y'all understand that? Moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves do break through and steal. All the stuff that you have on here on earth, guess what? It's going to pass away. It's going to be gone. But things are temporal, but people are eternal. Are you with me? Things are temporal and people are eternal. And so he was trying to say to us that relationships are far more important than things. I'm going to tell a story. This goes a long ways back. Clark will not remember this, okay, because he was only about me up to my knee, maybe a little bit taller when he did this. But we lived in Belmont, North Carolina. And we lived in Belmont, North Carolina. We had just moved there, and I call it my duck clock. And again, I like outdoor stuff, and I had this clock. It was about that big, about that wide, and it had painted glass, and it had a bunch of mallard ducks landing in a little marsh. And I had bought it for not very much money, but I had it all through my teen years. I brought it to college. It was one of those things like, this is my clock. And my wife and I were in the kitchen at the house, and we were unpacking the kitchen, putting things away. And you could hear Clark. He was in the hallway, and he had a little bouncing ball. And you hear this little bouncing ball. He'd throw it down the hallway. You'd hear it go boom, 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 boom down the hallway. And then you'd hear his little feet behind it. And then you'd hear the ball again. Dum, 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 dum. And you'd hear his little feet run behind it. And I thought, oh, how cute Clark out there playing with the ball. Isn't that great? And so we're in there on the backstage. But then we heard boom, 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 boom. And you're like, shh. You're like, oh, what was that? And I come walking around the corner, and Clark's, again, he's only about this big. He's standing there with the ball in his hand with this real, like, uh-oh, look, next to the clock and the glasses everywhere. And I went, I said, let me have that ball. I said, why don't you go into the other room and play? And I went and got a trash can. I started picking up that glass. And while I'm picking up that glass and I'm throwing it in this trash can, I'm saying this out loud. Relationships are more important than what? Things. Relationships are more important than things. And my wife says, what you doing, honey? I said, I'm trying to practice what I preach, okay? Because I was thinking, I don't believe he broke my clock. And then so at Bible college, I lent my car to a guy one time. His name was Elias. And we would go up to visit Chicago on Saturdays. And after visitation on Saturdays, my wife and I would go home in the evening. And I would lend my car to a bus worker. And so I lent my car to a bus worker. His name was Elias. And my wife and I went home. About 9:30 at night, my phone rings. And I answer the phone. And it's Elias on the other end of the phone. And it's Elias. And he said, Brother Josh, he said, we have a problem. He said, your car broke down. I was like, it broke down. He goes, yeah, we were driving along and there was this really big boom. And he said, a lot of smoke and stuff. And he said, we're on the side of the highway. I was like, where exactly on the side of the highway? He said, well, Calumet Avenue, 994. I was like, okay, well, I'll be there in a couple minutes. And so I went and I grabbed a few tools and I drove over, pulled up behind him and I popped the hood. And I went over there and I opened the hood like this. When I opened the hood like this, there was oil dripping down off of the hood. Okay, it's not supposed to do that, right? Okay, so there's this oil dripping down off the hood, and I'm like, oh, man. And so I took the flashlight, and I started shining it over the engine, and I shined it down the front side of the engine, and I could see inside the engine, I could see the oil pan, and I could see the dipstick in the oil pan. Okay, if you don't know anything about engines, it's not supposed to look like that, okay? All right, so, and I looked at it, and what it was is he had blown the engine and blew a hole this big in the side of the engine. And so I looked at him, shining that, and I said, Elias, do you see that? And he goes, see what? I said, do you see the dipstick? And I shined at him, like, you know, do you see the dipstick? Okay, but no, I said, do you see the dipstick? He goes, yeah. And I said, you're not supposed to see that. He goes, what happened? I said, you blew up my engine. He goes, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I went and got a screwdriver, took the license plate off the front, went around the back, took the license plate off the back, went to the glove compartment, took everything out of the glove compartment, and I said, we're going to leave it there until it gets a sticker. And so we left it there for 2 days. It got an orange sticker, which meant you have 24 hours to come get it. And after 24 hours, they will tow it. They tow it. And then about 2 weeks after that, they get a notice that says it's an impoundment. And if you don't come get it in 2 weeks, it's going to become a refrigerator. And guess what happened to my car? It became a refrigerator, okay? And I didn't have to pay the towing for it. Amen? All right? So he blew up my car. Now, here's the thing. We all find ourselves in circumstances. Are you listening? We all find ourselves in circumstances where somebody does something to one of our things. You with me? It's the kid who takes the craftsman tool and he leaves it in the yard, then he runs it over the lawnmower. And you're like, you didn't just, you did. And guess what we have to think about at that moment? What's more important? Relationships or the things? And we're going to try to get in our head today what? Stay with me. Relationships are more important than things. Right? Don't ever let a thing get elevated over the top of a relationship with a person. Number two. Okay, number two, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 50. Genesis chapter number 50. All right. Genesis chapter number 50. And look with me in verse number 20. What are we getting ready to talk about? This would be the very end of the story of Joseph. Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers. He's gone through the time of jail. He's had the situation with Potiphar's. I mean, he's gone all the way to the end. Now he's
very high up in the land of Egypt. He's in charge, okay? And now his brothers have been brought before him because their land is in famine and feast, and they're looking for food, and they're standing in front of him in Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 19. Let's go verse number 18. It says, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants." That is, they just realized that that's Joseph. That's their brother that's sitting up there. Okay, and it says this, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought it evil against me, selling me into slavery a long time ago. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And what does it say? Everybody read the last part of verse number 21 with me. "And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Think about that. He got sold into slavery by his brothers. Could you imagine being down in the pit, listening to your brothers bargain with some slave traders and saying, "Oh, how much would you give me? Well, how much would you give us for that guy down there, that bum down there, that guy that we hate down there?" And they go, "Oh, give us X amount of dollars." And he gets sold into slavery. And think about when he's driving off and his brothers are waving to him saying, "Good riddance, bad rubbish. Adios." And then years down the road, here's Joseph with his brothers standing in front of him. And he has all the power to be able to say, "Off with their heads." Right? And the moment they recognize it's him, they bow down and he goes, no. Stand up. And he says, "Don't fear me." He said, "I will nourish you, feed you. I'm going to feed you and I'm going to feed your little ones." And then it says, and what? He comforted them and he spake what to them? Kindly. He didn't go off and give them a piece of their mind. Now think about this. Do you think Joseph's feelings got hurt that day he got sold into slavery?
Absolutely.
I mean, think about it. Put yourself in that position. Your brothers sold you into slavery, threw blood on the jacket, and went and lied to dad about you. And then years later, you have the chance to give them a piece of your mind. And what does he say? "I'll feed you. Let me comfort you." I picture the comfort was this. He went down and he gave him what? "Hi, brothers. I love you. I forgive you." Now, ready? Here's a statement. Relationships are more important than my feelings. You with me? Relationships are more important than my, say it with me,
feelings.
Say it again. Relationships are more important than my feelings. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand because we would all raise both hands and feet. How many have ever said something to somebody that you knew you shouldn't have said because you got your feelings hurt?
Yeah.
Right? At that moment, our feelings got hurt and we said a bunch of stuff that we shouldn't have said. Because at that moment, we said, "My feelings are more important than the relationship that I have with you." Are you with me? Okay, so number one, relationships are more important than what? Things. Number two, relationships are more important than what? Feelings, okay? Third one, okay? And we're almost done with these three, and then I'm just going to close it up with a thought, okay? Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts, chapter number 15. And when you go to Acts, chapter number 15, look with me in verse number 35. All right, Acts chapter number 15, verse number 35, you have, Paul, it says, "Paul also and Barnabas continue in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." So you have two men working together in the ministry, right? And it says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Let's just go back and revisit some places that we've preached in the past. And Barnabas, verse 37, determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So Barnabas says, "Great idea, can I bring John, Mark with me?" And at verse number 38, and says, "And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with the work with them to the work. And notice this, verse number 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren in the grace of God. And so really, what do you have here? You have two men working in the ministry together, and they decide, let's go back and visit all these churches. And Barnabas raises his hand and says, well, I think that's a great idea. Let's bring John Mark with him. And Paul goes, I don't know about that whole John Mark guy. Don't you know that he's the same guy that was with us with him in Pamphylia, and he kind of just like bolted on us and he left us hanging once before? I don't think we ought to bring him. And then what does Barnabas do? He goes, well, I think you're just being judgmental. He goes, judgmental nothing, proof's in the pudding. It's the facts. Okay, and all of a sudden they start going to a back and forth, and the Bible says that the contention gets what? So sharp between them. I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, at work, like two men get in a fight, and all of a sudden they're just up in each other's face, and they're red in the face, and they're pointing at each other, and they're screaming at each other, and you're like, oh, I think I'm going to go to the break room. I'm out of here. Well, that's really what you had between Paul and Barnabas. Two men just yelling and screaming at each other, and finally one of them says, you know what? Just forget it. You do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. One goes this way, one goes that way. And all those years of ministry that they worked together in went gone. Because of what? Ready? I want you to look at a little phrase here. Verse 38. And Paul thought not good to take him with him. Guess what that was? That was Paul's opinion. Do you hear me? That was Paul's opinion. I don't think it's a good idea to take him. That's your opinion, Paul. So relationships, here's the third one. Relationships are more important than my opinion. I know that's a hard one, right? Relationships are more important than my what? My opinions. That is this. We often say, my opinion is more important than my relationship with you, and I'm going to give my opinion even if it hurts our relationship. You with me? Now, I just want to give you a couple scriptures here, and go with me to Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs chapter number 17, and look with me. Okay, and verse number 28, last verse of Proverbs 17. Okay, look at that. It says this. It says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. A foolish person who does not share what he's thinking is, God says, that's actually a pretty wise person. Catch that? Even a foolish person, or even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, that he keeps it to himself, is counted wise. But then notice this next part. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. That is the King James Bible way to say, shut up. Shutteth his lips. Okay, notice what he says. He says this. He said, a man that can just zip it. God says, that's a man of what? Understanding. A fool, that you normally say, he's very, very foolish in the things that he said. He was actually counted wise, because what did he do? He just held his peace. He didn't say anything. Now, go with me also to Proverbs chapter number 30. Okay, you're in 17. Just skip over to verse number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30, and look with me in verse number 32. Okay, it says this. It says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, that is, you're bragging on yourself, lifting up yourself like, yo, I'm wonderful, I'm great, I'm perfect, I'm the greatest person. He says, if thou have done foolishly in doing that, and you're doing it, and then you recognize that you're doing it, and then he says this, or if thou hast, what, thought evil, what does he say? Lay thy hand where? Upon thy mouth. Ready? What is that? Okay. I'm bragging on myself, and I recognize I'm bragging on myself, and I ought to just zip it. You ever somebody say, you ought to quit while you're ahead? You ought to just quit while you're ahead. Okay, ready? I'm doing it, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit smokes me, and I go, oh. What does he say? Lay your hand where? Upon your what? Your mouth. But the next phrase is an interesting one. If you have what? Thought evil. You didn't speak it. But the thought formed in your head that you were going to go up and say, hey, Juliana, I want to tell you something about so-and-so. And I go, you know, I probably ought not say that. He goes, if you thought evil, and it was formulating, and it was heading towards the tongue. Guess what you ought to do? Lay your hand where? Upon your mouth. Let me ask, okay, have we ever had a person do this? You go to say, you know, that girl Trisha, she's really kind of, never mind. Anybody ever done that? Caught yourself? You're like, never mind. But what does the other person almost always do when you say, that girl Trisha, she's really kind of, never mind. Ready? Everybody, we know what they do.
Say it,
right? They go, don't leave me hanging. I mean, you can't, ready? You can't start a sentence and just stop it. I mean, come on. And you're like, no, I shouldn't say it. No, I mean, look, just go ahead and say, no, I don't think, just say it. Okay, I think she's a jerk. I don't believe you say that about her. You're like, I caught myself. I recognize I was not supposed to say it, but you were relentless, okay? So it's twofold. Number one, if you thought evil, what should you do? Lay your hand where? Find your mouth. But number two is if you're the listener and the person who thought evil and they lay their hand upon their mouth because they recognize I probably ought not say it, don't go trying to dig for it. Just help them, let them allow the Holy Spirit to have been their guide at that moment. Right? The Holy Spirit's like, and then you're like, okay? Now, here's the thing, okay? What does God choose? There's a lot of things that we share, our opinions, that the truth is, when we go run around sharing our opinions, guess what we do to relationships? Let's be real honest. What do we do to relationships? We run around sharing our opinions about everything. We hurt them. We wreck them, right? And, you know, it's the person that does this. You ever see some guy out there on a lake and he's rowing a boat, he's in a little canoe on a lake and he's just having a grand old time fishing, just rowing along. And here's some man, a speedboat. I mean, they're just, whoom, they come flying by, right? Shoom, and they're gone. I mean, they're like, other end of the lake. And by the time they get to the other end of the lake, what's happened to the wake and the waves? It finally shows up to the guy in the canoe and he's, like this, he's shaking his fist, going, man, that guy. And guess where those people are? They're long gone. They're having a grand old time. Woo! And there's somebody behind them in their wake of their destruction going, I don't believe you just said it. There's a lot of people in this world that's what they do, right? They're running through life. They're giving their opinions. They're hurting relationships. And they're just going, yeah, this is great. Woo! If you thought evil, lay your hand where? Upon your mouth. So maybe at lunch today, it'll be a husband and wife will be eating. Then all of a sudden, one will go... Okay, just leave him alone. Just leave him alone. Now, let me just finish with this. Ready? Before salvation, think this through. This is the conclusion of the message. Before salvation, before you were saved, what family were you a part of? Devil. Right? Children of disobedience. Okay? It's because what? We were adopted, correct? If you were adopted into the family of God... I mean, Jesus at one point, he said, you are of your father, the, what? Devil, right? He said it straight to him. He said, John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. So I'm of my father, the devil. I got saved and I was adopted into the family of, what? God. And so then we pray, God, you are my heavenly, what? Father. So then that means that when we use the phrase, we're brothers and sisters in, what? Christ. That's a true statement. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. So think about this, and this is the statement for our church. Friendly is one thing, but there's another level that people feel like they're part of the family. You with me? Friendly, yes, but that people feel like they're part of the family. I'll tell you, this is a story that happened to me this week on the phone with somebody, and they said, I visited a church. And they said, I knew going to that church that I was an outsider. And then they said this, the only problem was, when I left, I still felt like I was, what? An outsider. And I thought, and that's where I began to think about. Friendly, yes, but we want people to feel like they're part of the family. You ever heard this statement about a church? The inner circle. There's the inner circle. Well, what that gives it to is there's the inner circle But then that has to mean that there's also an outer circle. But wait a second. What should we all be part of? The what? The family or the inner circle? So guess what? There's not an inner circle and outer circle. If you're saved, you're a child of God, then there's a song. I'm so glad I'm a part of what? The family of God. Amen? And if somebody comes to church and they're not saved, what do we want to see happen? That they get saved, they get adopted, and then they become part of what? The family of God. Let me just tell you this. You know what people are looking for in this world? A place where they can connect and have relationships with people. Don't just want to come into church, sit in the back, drop my money in the plate, and walk out of the back door. I want to feel like I belong. You with me? I belong. So there's a level. Number one is we want, and this is the first message we preached, we want everybody to believe that we are what? Friendly. You with me?
Yep.
But I also want people to say this. When you go there, you feel like you're part of the family. You with me? So ready? What is it? First one, we want us all to be very what? Friendly. But we also want people to feel like they're part of the family. You with me? There's a different level between friend and family. I want people to go, I go there and I feel like I belong. You with me? I'm not on the outer circle looking in and going, boy, I wish I was a Westall. I wish I was an Edgerton. I wish I was a Motor. You with me? You follow what I'm saying? I'm not saying that those... What I'm saying is you don't want people to feel like I'm on the outside looking in. Anybody that comes in here, come be part of what? The family. You're not saved? Let us show you how to become part of the family. Amen? Not, I was an outsider, and when I left, I still felt like an outsider.
Now, so what we have to do is this. Remember, a relationship with those people is more important than my three things. Ready? More important than what? Things, my feelings, and my opinions. Say it again. More important than things, my feelings, and my opinions. Let's just put all those aside and say, I'm glad you're part of our family. Amen? All right. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, God, for your word. Lord, thank you for all that it teaches us about. So many different things that it just shows us how to live this life here on this earth, Lord, around people and with people. And so I pray, Father, that we would take the message today, take it to heart as a church, and just apply it, Lord, in the area of reaching people and, Lord, making people feel like this is a place that they could come and belong and worship and learn and grow and, Lord, have friends. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless, Lord, each person. And so, as the pianist plays, I'm just going to open the invitation, give you some time to do business with the Lord. If you want to do business with the Lord at your seat or you want to do it up here, totally up to you. But I want to leave you some time to do business with the Lord.